27. And I'll try to be brief this evening. Looks like we got a storm bearing down on us, and looks like we might get a good rainstorm out of it, so try not to keep people here too late. Psalm 27, we were there last week, and we'll be there again this week, and we'll finish up the chapter. We're going to look at verses 7 through 14, at the end of the chapter. In verse number 11, I'm going to take a thought from there. It says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." The title of the message this evening is A Plain Path. And we'll take that thought right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for all that you've given to us. We thank you for life and strength and for our families and for a place to come and assemble. We thank you that we can look into your word and get something from it. I pray that your Holy Spirit would enlighten us and teach us this evening and show us what you would have for us to get from the scriptures. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read verses 7 through 14. And last week we looked at being single-minded. Took two words out of verse number 4. It says one thing, and we looked at how we need to be single-minded in the Christian life, and that is focus on God and all that He does for us, because that is the crux of the Christian life. He is our power. We need His presence, His protection, and then we glory in God and in Him alone, being single-minded. But this evening, we're going to look at a plain path. It says in verse number 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou says, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to seek His face. It says in verse number 9, "Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." All of us have a choice as to what path to take. We can take, the Bible talks about several different paths that we can take. He talks about the crooked path and here the plain path and all of these different paths that we can take, but not all the same paths, as I've said before, lead to the same place. And it's unfortunate that some people choose the wrong path. They go the wrong way. But David says, "Lord, I want you to lead me into the plain path." I want you to notice there that he has a desire for this. He wants to go down the plain path. He wants to be led in this way. And so he has a heart for that. He wants to go that way. He has a desire to go that way. There's a lot of different paths that you and I could take, as I've already said, but let me use an illustration kind of to set this up so that you can understand what I'm talking about. I used to lay pipe over there in the Texas Panhandle, and sometimes I'd go up into Kansas. And we would go and we would lay pipe. Well, the path that we would have to lay pipe on sometimes was kind of rough. We'd go to the canyons of Canadian Texas, and that's not smooth over there. It's pretty rough. You got lots of hills, lots of valleys, lots of obstacles that you got to go through, lots of cattle guards that you're going to have to drive through, lots of cattle country over there. There's going to be lots of fences that you're going to have to cross. There's going to be high-line wires that you need to look out for, as I've already told you about that. There's going to be lots of obstacles in that Canadian territory right there. That's over there on the northeast corner of the Texas Panhandle. It gets real hot over there during the summertime. It's in a low valley, kind of low-laying valley, and so it gets really hot. People have told me before, and they've explained it, why it gets so hot in that low-lying area, because it's like kind of like in the bottom of a, you know, you got a frying pan, you put it up there on the stove, and the frying pan gets hot. Well, down there at the bottom of that frying pan is going to be the hottest spot. Well, that's the way it was in Canadian. Down there in that low-lying space there, that heat would just kind of sag there and wait there. So it'd get hot over there. But we had a lot of obstacles when I would lay pipe. If you're going to lay pipe, you got just a plot of land out there, and you got to go from point A to point B, and you got line crossings you got to go across. You got all of these different obstacles and things that you have to cross. It's tough. Well, sometimes they would send me over to Kansas, and I'd have to go lay pipe over in Kansas. Well, Kansas is a different story. I don't know if there's any Kansasites out here. You've been born in Kansas? I hope not. I don't want to insult you, but I don't like Kansas. I'm sorry. It's just, you go up there and it's just, there's nothing there. I mean, you just go up there and it's flat. I mean, you can see for miles and miles. You drive and drive and drive and there's nothing. There's not a hill. There's not a mountain. There's not a valley. There's just nothing but farmland out there. It's completely and totally flat. It's the flat plains. You go out there and lay pipe, and man, you got a stretch of, we went and laid 30 miles of pipe over there one time, and there was nothing out there. You go and go and go. There's no hills, there's no valleys, there's nothing. You might have to cross a road, you might have to bore underneath the road or something like that, but it's plain, it's flat, it's level. There's nothing out there. Well, let me relate that to what David is talking about here in this passage. He's in a rough spot here. He's got a lot of obstacles that he's fighting through. He's got enemies. He's got his own flesh that he's having to deal with. And he's got things that he's going through. And he's saying, man, I'm getting tired of this stuff that I'm going through. Lord, would you lead me on the plain path? That's a path that doesn't have as many obstacles. Lord, would you help me to defeat my enemies that I have? The problems that I have in life, I'm my own worst enemy sometimes, as we read about there in a few weeks ago. Lead me on to the plain path, the flat path, the level path. That's what plain means. I looked it up in the dictionary. It's level, straight, right, or upright. That's what the word plain means. We need to define what plain means if we're going to get on this plain path, because you and I need to be on the plain path. Okay, so we need to know what this plain path is. Now, the word plain is found in the Bible is referred to as a flat or level place, a place without many hills, no mountains, a wilderness or obscure place, a valley or a low place. That's what the plain is, the plain path. And so in the context of this chapter, what is happening in David's life is he's being attacked by his enemies, as you can see in verses number 2 and 3. He's having problems with his enemies. Verse number 4, he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord. He's got a lot of problems, and he's saying, man, lead me on to the plain path where there's not as many obstacles in the way. He's trusting in the Lord to save him. He desires to be taught and to be led by the Lord in verse number 11. That's the plain path. Not quite as exciting, you know, as perhaps maybe the hills of Canadian. You don't have to get a bore truck out there and bore through the cap rock. You know, they had cap rock over there. That stuff is so hard, man. You couldn't dig through it. I spent days pounding on a rock with a track on. I know that's bad for a track. If there's any track operators out there, I'd probably get in trouble. But it's not quite as exciting on the other path. The plain path is kind of boring. There's not as many bells and whistles. It's not as much, there's no bright lights on the plain path. Verse number 14, he's confident in the Lord's provision and protection. That's what you find on the plain path, the plain path. So in the context of this chapter, how is the plain path characterized and what is the plain path? Well, the plain path is safety from the enemy. That's what you find on the plain path, safety from the enemy. The Lord's going to help you through those things. On the plain path, it's a path that is close to the Lord. That's where you find what you find on the plain path. You also find it's a path of total submission to the Lord with a teachable spirit towards the Lord. You're not self-willed on the plain path. You're not saying, hey, I've had enough of God's rules. I've had enough of God's way and God's will, and I'm going to go and shoot off on my own way and forget this plain path. I see something a little bit more exciting over here on this other path, and I'm just going to go that way. That's not the plain path. It's a path of submission. David has a teachable spirit. He's not telling God what to do. He's saying, hey, I'm putting myself at your feet, and you're going to tell me what to do and where and how to live and which way to go. That's the plain path. What the plain path is not is it's not an unsteady or wavering path. It's a level and a flat path. That's the plain path. It's not a path of self-confidence or self-assurance, and it's not always exciting, and it's not filled with sensory overload. Not a lot of big flat screen TVs on the plain path. It's boring. You might find a lot of books. You'd have to be a bookworm on the plain path. Are you ready to go on the plain path? Would you like to take a journey on the plain path? If you're a Christian, you should be on the plain path. That's the way that we ought to be. God puts you on there. God put you and I on the plain path. And that's the way that we ought to go. Jesus Christ himself talked about which way we ought to go in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. He said there's a lot of people that are going down the wide path to destruction. What's the wide path? Well, it's the fun path. That's the path where you got plenty of room. Plenty of places to weave all around, and you got lots of wiggle room, and man, there's no rules and there's no regulations. There's no preaching there. You can just do whatever you want to do. You can believe whatever you want to believe if you go down the wide path. But a lot of people are going that way because that's just the way people want to do it. They want to go that way. But he goes on to say, he says, but because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's the straight, that's kind of a constricted path. Not quite as much room on that path. You have to go one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's not through religion, it's not through yourself, but it's through Jesus Christ. But you must go on the plain path here is what I'm trying to say. So there's three necessities of life that you will find on the plain path, and I want to tell you about those necessities that you find on the plain path that you and I are on here this evening. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, you're going to find these things. Number one, you're going to find the face of God on the plain path. You're going to find the face of God. Number two, you're going to find the purpose of God, and then as you end up at the end of the plain path, you're going to find that the goodness of God on the plain path. Man, the goodness of God. Did you realize that God is a good God? Man, he's a good God. But first, let's look at what we find. Number one is the face of God. We find the face of God. Verse 8 to 9 tells us, and God is speaking here to David, and he says, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said, unto thee thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. You're looking for God's face. On the plain path, you will find God's face. Now, what are we talking about? Now, is God going to reveal himself in a hologram up there in the sky so we can see his face and say, oh, there's God's face? No, that's not what I'm talking about. No, whenever you see someone's face, what does it do? It reveals to you what's on the inside of them most of the time, unless they're trying to hide their feelings. It's a window or a revelation onto the inside of that person. If I frown here this evening, you're saying, what's wrong with that guy? Is he mad or something? Is he angry? I might be frowning right now. I have a tendency to frown. Sorry, folks. That doesn't mean I'm mad. It's just that I'm a fox. Foxes just frown for some reason. It's a window into the inside of that person. If someone's sad, they're crying, something like that, you can see into their heart. Something is going on the inside of them. They're smiling. They're laughing. You can see it on their face. So it's a revelation of the inside of that person. It's the same way with God. God will reveal himself. It's a revelation to his creatures. On the plain path, you will find a revelation of God. You will find the face of God. God commands David to seek his face, and David's heart answers back, and he says, I will seek thy face. I want to see your face. I want to know what's going on the inside of you. I want to know your heart, God. I want to know how you feel about things. I want to know what upsets you and what makes you angry and what you love and what you hate. I want to see all of those things, and you and I can find God's face on the plain path. God will reveal himself to you. It's a window on the inside of that person. To see God's face is to enter into God's heart. When God asks us to see his face, he is making a call for us to enter into his thoughts and see what he is thinking, what his thought process is, what he hates and what he loves. God does not have to reveal himself to us. He doesn't have to. He's not obligated to reveal himself to us. But yet he does, because he's a good and a gracious God. He wants to enter into a relationship with us, and so he reveals himself to us. And he reveals his heart to us. If you get off of the plain path, if you get off and you get on the wrong path, there's a good chance that God is not going to reveal his face to you. He's not going to reveal his heart to you. You can become blind to what God's will is for your life. The same thing happened to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and God said, I will hide my face from them. God's own chosen people did not know what God's will was because they had gotten off the wrong path. It says in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 18 to 20, of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful. They got off on the wrong path and they said, we're not going to think about God. We're not going to look for God. And we have forgotten the God that formed thee. What was the consequence of that? What was the consequence of them getting off of the wrong path? And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I'm not going to reveal anything else to those people because they have forgotten me and they do not worship me anymore. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation and children of whom is no faith. That means they are self-willed. They said, we are not going to follow God anymore. We're going to go on our own way. We're going to go on our own path. And we get off the path. Hey, don't see God's face anymore. God has not revealed himself to them anymore. That's a dangerous place to be in, my friends. Dangerous place to be in when God will not reveal his face to you anymore. Those that are not on the plain path are not mindful of God and have forgotten the God that gave them life, just like the children of Israel. Anybody can do that. Anybody can forget about God. But David is on the plain path, and his ultimate desire. Let me tell you something. Christianity is a religion or a faith of the heart. It's a faith of the heart. And David's desire, his ultimate desire, is to seek God. He says, man, Lord, show me your face. Put me on that path. Help me, God. It's his heart. He says, hide not thy face far from me. It's on the plain path that we can know the glory of God, and it's in the face of Jesus Christ, as found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6. The glory of God is found in the face of Jesus Christ. And he reveals himself to us. Stay on the plain path, and God will reveal his face to you. When we see the face of God, you know what happens? We find what the purpose of God is. That's the next thing we see. We find what the purpose of God is. God reveals his face, and then we find the purpose of God. Would you like to know what God's purpose is here this evening? I don't want to walk around and not know what God's purpose is for me. We can find it. God will reveal it himself to us. It says in verse number 9 and 10, "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger." He says, look, God, don't put me away. I want to serve you. I want to glorify you. "Thou hast been my help. Leave me not." Mark those words, "leave me not. Neither forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me, then will the Lord take me up." He says, even if my father and my mother forsake me, hey, the Lord's going to take me up. You know what that phrase right there means? The Lord will take me up, meaning to gather for any purpose. So what's God going to do on the plain path? He's going to pick him up, and he's going to put him to work, and he's going to show him his purpose. If you and I here this evening stay on the plain path, we can find the purpose of God that he has for us. God's revealed will is given to us on the plain path. God will use you and take you up and use you to accomplish his purposes. God will not put away his people, forsake his people, or leave his people. And God has a purpose for your life. What if your parents leave you? What if your friends forsake you? You still have a God that cares about you, and he's got a purpose for you, and he's got plenty of love to go around. Stay on the plain path, and you'll find the purpose of God. We find the purpose of God on the plain path. What is the purpose of God for the children of God? What does he want us to do anyway? You can find out the revealed Word of God right here in the Holy Scriptures. The revealed Word of God. He'll tell you all about himself right there in the Scriptures. But what does God have for his children? Number one, he wants us to love God. That's the first thing. Anybody who's not saved does not love God. They don't care about God. But God's will for his children is to love God. Number two is to love the people of God. Number three is to love your neighbors. And number four is to do good works. It says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." What does God want us to do, man? He saved us and redeemed us and ordained us to walk in good works. That's what he wants us to do. We can find the Word of God. We can find the purpose of God on the plain path. Those on the plain path will find the will of God. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures here from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and you know them by heart already. But the way that we find the will of God for our lives is to stay separated from the world. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies..." That's your living bodies, "a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove..." That you want to know what God's will is, stay separated. "That ye may prove what is the perfect, good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And that doesn't sound like very much fun, though. Well, yeah, we're on the plain path. This is not the path where all the neon lights are. This is the other path, the plain path. That's how you find the will of God. That's how you find the purpose of God. Stay separated from the world and you'll find the purpose of God on the plain path. You know, Paul described himself as on a path or on a race. And he said, you know what? I want to keep preaching the Word of God. I want to keep serving God, but you know what I have to do? I have to keep myself separated from the world in order to find God's purpose. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached unto others, I myself should be a castaway." He said, I don't want God to put me on the shelf, so I keep my body... Our living bodies, remember Romans 12, 1 to 2, "I keep my body under subjection because I want God to use me." And he says, man, I want to find God's purpose, so I'm staying on the plain path. That's not the path where you find sensory overload. It's the plain path. How are we going to fulfill God's purpose in our lives? Man, it seems like a daunting task. And maybe we can't do it, but God's right there to help us. His grace is there to help us to fulfill his purpose in our life. It was the grace of God that enabled Paul to fulfill his ministry into which he had been called. He gave all of the credit to the grace of God. It was nothing that he had done. It says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen." He says, man, God separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, and it's the grace of God that keeps me going. How are we going to fulfill that purpose? By the grace of God. We find the purpose of God on the plain path. So what God requires of you, God's grace enables you to accomplish. What do we find at the end of the plain path? Man, we find the goodness of God all the way down to the end. It says in verse number 13, David says here in our text, he said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." He said, man, I kept believing in the Lord, and I would have fainted if I hadn't. I would have quit a long time ago. But I kept on believing in the Lord. And now I get to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. What was the land of the living? Well, I believe what he's referencing here is the kingdom that God had promised him in 2 Samuel chapter number 7, the covenant that he had made with David, the Davidic covenant. He said, man, God is going to be good to me all the way to the end, and I'm going to see the goodness of God all the way to the land of the living. David had faith that God would support him through the trials he was going through, and that he would outlive his problems and his enemies, and the goodness of God would allow him to enjoy life. All the way to the end, I'm going to get to see the goodness of God. You know, the more that I interact with God and the more that I live the Christian life, the more I see that God is a good God. Amen. He really is. And that people are just basically not too good. They're basically bad. That includes everybody. But God's a good God. I believe that David realized that as well. But I've come to realize that God is a good, a just, gracious, and merciful God. And as a matter of fact, he gives us better than what we deserved. What about people who mock God all the time and say, oh, there is no God, you know, blah, you know, all these different things about God. You know, God could just strike them dead if he wanted to. He could just do that. He could take their breath away from them. He could take their lives away from them. But yet God lets them keep on living a life. Amen. Keeps on letting them breathe. Yeah. Keeps on letting them eat. Yeah. Keeps on letting them run their mouth. Yeah, that's a gracious God right there. Yeah. That's a gracious God. He's a just judge. He meets out punishment to those deserving of it. One of these days, everyone will have to stand before God, and he will pass judgment. And the reason that people are going to be judged is because of their actions for the things that they did. And it's not going to be unjust at all. God is a just judge. He's good, and he's fair. But God is also gracious, and he's also a merciful heavenly Father to the undeserving. What about you and I sitting here this evening? Do we deserve the grace and the mercy of God that he's given to us? I don't. I don't deserve anything that God has given to me because I am a sinner. I don't deserve that. But yet God is gracious to us. Man, he lavishes his children with love and affection to people who don't deserve it. Amen. He's going to see the goodness. I've seen the goodness of God. I experience it each and every day. And God is a good, good God. It says in Psalm 65:4, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts and shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple." Man, blessed is that man. How about us here this evening? We get to experience the grace of God each and every day through salvation, through Jesus Christ. And even in this physical creation, we get to experience all that. But it doesn't stop there. Because you know what? We're going to the land of the living, as David talked about here. He's talking about perhaps a physical kingdom here, but we're talking about heaven on the other side. We get to experience God's goodness for all of eternity on the other side. That's what we get. That's what the plain path ends up like. The plain path ends up with the goodness of God. Now, if you want to take another path that's your own self-willed path that, you know, it looks a lot funner that way, guess where that's going to end up? It's not going to end up with the goodness of God. It's going to end up with the judgment of God and the wrath of God at the end of that. There's no goodness there. Please don't choose that path. So we'll outlive our problems because we all have problems. Every one of us do. We got health problems. We got financial problems. We got all these things. But we're going to outlive all those things. And we're going to get to the land of the living where God's goodness is over there in heaven. Man, isn't that great hope for the child of God? Can you tell me of someone else that has that kind of hope in their faith? I don't think so. Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." He says, "Man, I'm going to prepare a place for you." We get to enjoy the kingdom, the goodness of God, on the plain path. Amen. It's not too fun right now. It's not too exciting right now, but man, it's going to be worth it in the end. Amen. We get the goodness of God. We get the grace of God. So my final question to you would be this. What is your heart like this evening? What do you desire in your heart for the path that you're on? Do you desire the plain path or do you desire something else? If you don't desire the plain path, you don't want to follow God, you don't want to be led by God. Well, why? You must ask yourself that question. Why? Because as I said, the Christian faith is a faith of the heart. It's a faith of the heart. And what you desire is ultimately what you're going to get. David ends up this chapter on the plain path, man. God's going to provide all of our needs. Verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." What do? Well, we just wait on God. He's going to take care of it. We're not all-knowing and all-powerful, but God is. And he'll take care of it one of these days. What path are you on and what path do you desire? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've given to us. Thank you for your blessings upon us, Lord. We pray that you'd help us to examine ourselves, examine our heart, and see which path that we desire. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to stay on the plain path, not veer off, not go in our own way, not trust in our own righteousness, our own intellect, Lord, but to trust in you, Father. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for leading us and guiding us. We pray that you'd help us in the days to come. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.